Let's bring this up on the show.
You're listening to the Webcomic Beacon at webcomicbeacon.com.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com, part of the Webcast Beacon Network at webcastbeacon.com, covering and promoting creativity and the creative process since 2007. I'm Fess, and with me this week, we welcome back one of our more frequent guests to the Webcomic Beacon, Yamino from SisterClaire.com.
Hello.
Along with her partner in crime, Ash from also SisterClaire.com.
Hello.
So, Ash, this is your first time on the show, so extra special welcome.
Thank you so much.
And for both of you, since it's been more than 6 or 8 months since we've had Yamino on, I want to say congratulations to you both for getting married.
Thank you.
Thank you. We're very happy.
So rarely people go to Hawaii for the marriage part, but you did the marriage and the honeymoon all in one go.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, and it wasn't even planned either. A couple of weeks before we were due to go, they legalized marriage for us in Hawaii, and we both kind of looked at each other over our computers with our eyebrows doing the tango.
Wait, you were just planning to go to Hawaii?
Yeah, it was part of a family vacation because it's kind of a weird setup, but my mom gets home leave every 2 years from her employer, and she's listed Hawaii as her home so that she could go there once every 2 years. And she wanted us to go on the family trip, so we were able to scrape up enough to go. And then we realized that we could also get married all in one go, so we're like, let's do it.
so that worked really well with the family then?
Yeah, we were kind of tentative about it at first, but then they all had a much better reaction than we thought they would.
Yeah. Elena's parents reacted better to start off with, but my mom and dad came around pretty quickly too, and everyone ended up being quite supportive and happy for us. Mm-hmm. And you know, there was the moment in front of the courthouse where I called my mom and I was like, "Mom, I'm about to get married," and she started crying.
The courthouse looked like a jail. Like, yeah, I felt really like did. We were going to prison, and we had to, because it is mostly like, it's a courthouse for processing criminals. It's only very recently being used for gay marriage as well. And so we went up there in our very pretty sarongs and stuff, and we had to get scanned through the security. And I was like, I really hope they don't ask me to take anything off, because I'm literally wearing a sheet right now.
Yeah. Have to go through the metal detector wearing what is essentially a very pretty tablecloth.
Yeah. I swear I'm not hiding anything.
I can't. There's nowhere to hide it.
Well,
and the judge got my name wrong about 12 times. He could not say my name correctly to save his life. I was trying hard not to laugh the whole time, but yeah. Ash thought I was about to cry, but actually I was trying really hard not to burst into laughter at all the different ways the guy was finding to say my name incorrectly. But he was cute. He was a very nice judge.
Yeah, there's some pictures up on your Tumblr I had seen a while ago. So, and here's the thing. I'm kind of embarrassed because I had no idea you were dating anyone. Mm.
Well, I think a lot of people didn't, because we weren't really talking about it. I hadn't even confirmed it to my parents until I told them, by the way, we're getting married. So,
wow, that's, with it. Yeah, it's potential drama bomb there. It's like,
I think my mom and dad knew we were dating.
Well, they couldn't not know, because you showed up to Thanksgiving with hickeys and stuff. So.
Yeah. I mean, my mom and dad had known for the better part of a year that we were dating, but I don't think they expected me to call them one day on the phone and be like, hey, so guess what? I'm getting married. And there was just this very long pause, and I could hear them processing it from over an hour away. We still get confused questions on both of our Tumblrs. People are like,
are you like actually married?
No, we're just joke married, like fake kind. Like when we stage those photos.
Yeah. When you say that Yamino is your wife. You really mean your friend.
You mean your roommates, right?
No. Do you guys know a comedian named Hannibal Buress?
You mean the show Community?
No. It's a comedian named Hannibal Buress.
Oh, a comedian. No, I haven't heard of him.
All right. He has a joke that basically kind of ties into where, I told you, why do you keep asking me the same question as I give you the same answer? I won't go into it, but it just reminded me of that. So unrelated joke aside, that you don't know what I'm talking about, we'll go ahead and just move on. Most of our audience is familiar with Yamano for doing the webcomic Sister Claire, and Ash had at some point come on as a writer for Sister Claire. Could you sort of give us a timeline of like how long ago did that start?
Yeah, that started last December, actually, while we were in Hawaii. While we were there, Elena really needed something she wanted to do a holiday special, first off. And I am a writer, and I had written her what were supposed to be just some personal presents, some, I guess, sort of fan fiction. Fan fiction of Sister Claire. And as she was trying to figure out what to do for a special, I was like, well, why don't you use what I wrote and just illustrate it, kind of like a storybook style?
We had been talking about this before, but it took a while for me to come around to the idea because I couldn't think of any other webcomics that had, like, because we were talking about doing these missing moments even before we did that first trial run, and this was kind of like to test out how they would be received, and they were received really well. They were basically just, they were illustrated stories, drawn in kind of an illustrated storybook style. And people really liked them, so we've kept doing them ever since. All and right. Ash is really good at writing Claire characters. Sometimes I think she knows them better than I do.
So I got two questions based off of this. One, do you have to marry in order to make your fan fiction canon?
Yeah.
Well, there's still some things that I see happening in my head that I have to convince Elena to consider.
It usually takes about 3 tries, like bringing it up on 3 separate occasions, and then I'm like, that's a great idea, I'm so smart, and you're like, that was mine. If you just keep planting the seeds, then I'll like dream about it and I'll be like, it came to me in a dream, let's do this thing.
It's also referred to as inception.
But you were actually helping me with Sister Claire even way before December. It was just you were an unofficial helper because I would tell you literally everything about the story and you would say, what about this thing and this thing? And then I would change it, but you weren't getting any credit. So we had to change that.
So is what you're talking about the quote unquote Golden Books thing that you did that one time, or was this something else? Am I misremembering?
Well, the missing moments were printed in a test run that we made at home that had a Golden Books cover on it, but you can read all of them online. We recently renovated the website so that it has 2 sections. It has, if you go to sisterclaire.com, it'll show whatever the most recent update is, either a missing moment or a comic. And if it shows the missing moments, you can click a button to go look at the comic and vice versa. So it's kind of like having 2 comics on one site, except one isn't actually a comic. It's more like illustrated prose.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Let's see here. But I need to step back because I'm a little confused. But I will say, yeah, you did redo the comic, the website, and when people start adding more than one comic property onto a single URL, it does get muddled pretty badly, especially if you want like a static page for either.
We designed the site to have a different layout depending on which one you're looking at. So mm-hmm. You can never be confused. If you're looking at a missing moment, it'll have the missing moment layout. If you're looking at the comic, it'll have like the stained glass comic layout.
Mm-hmm. And I see
talked this over many times with the text to try to find the most non-confusing way to do it.
Yeah, I do like it. It's pretty slick, let's say. Once you figure out, oh, there's the switch. There you go. Mm-hmm. It's pretty slick. I wanted to go back to the quote unquote Golden Books thing. Wasn't there like a Kickstarter in which you actually had something like that as like one of the rewards or something? Or am I just not remembering at all?
We have not offered the missing moments yet as a reward for anything, and we haven't, I guess you could say, printed them in great excess yet.
We did a small test run that was like, what, 20 books to bring 30. To Mocha? Yeah. And I printed them all on my home printer and assembled them myself. It was a labor of love.
A chaotic nightmare is what she means. Yeah.
But they all sold out. So.
They did. Yeah. People flocked to our table to buy them, which was very flattering to me. I had never sold anything at a convention before, so talk about a nice ego boost there.
So, I'm going to go to my go-to questions, and this is something I've been asking everybody that's been coming on the show lately, is what is your elevator pitch for Sister Claire?
Helen, Ash is like slapping me on the back. Okay. Sister Claire is the story of a nun who discovers that let me start over. Sister Claire is set in a post-war world after a great war between witches and nuns. And Claire is a naive young nun who's about to learn that she has more to do with the war than she ever thought she did. And she's going to learn about the reasons behind the war and that maybe the witches aren't as evil as she's been led to believe. And yeah.
That sounds pretty good. I was a little worried there at the beginning, but you turned it around and made it,
yeah. Oh my.
Oh my.
All right. So, and one other thing with between the missing moments and the missing moments is set in the past. And I don't
for now.
I don't know how far past
set
though.
In the same timeline as the comic.
Right now they go as far back as about 20 years before the start of the comic. It is entirely possible in the future that they will indeed delve farther into the past. We also have plans for them to eventually run concurrently with the comic timeline. So to involve events that are happening at the same time as events in the comic, just with different characters.
Mm-hmm. The missing moments almost always have some relevancy to whatever is happening on the latest comic pages. We try to keep them... We try to make it so that they add, what's the word I'm looking for, Ash? They give extra meaning and impact to what's currently happening in the comic. Like, it'll show you the history of a character that makes them act a certain way or something like that.
As Shrek would say, layers!
Layers!
They all have layers. Yes.
Well, it doesn't quite work when you're archive diving, either one. But while it's updating, that's probably really sweet addition.
Yeah, the best way to experience it is to read them as they update, but understandably not everyone can do that.
Right.
Yeah, it's not as confusing either for especially established readers who like to save up updates in chunks and then go back and read everything at a stretch. We do have some people who do that, who will wait until Elena updates, you know, 5 or 6 comic pages, and with 5 or 6 comic pages also comes a huge slew of missing moments. So,
because there's 3 to 4 missing moments per comic page.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there are several people who enjoy saving those to read in chunks. They think it flows better that way. And whichever way you slice it, I think you can have a good experience. I do think it is difficult for new readers to understand what's supposed to go where. But
I don't think it's that difficult. I mean, the comic is its own thing and the missing moments are their own thing, and they have...
I think it's difficult for new readers to know when to start reading the missing moments.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I just sort of started reading missing moments. I haven't gotten through all of missing moments because I typically don't read text well. That's why I like comics. I got like a form of dyslexia where I lose track of where I am. So I tend to shy away from that, I'll admit. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been working pretty well so far as like, there's a little backstory and you learn a little bit. And, what I thought you can correct me on this, but, from what I thought the relationship between Claire and, Catherine was, the missing moments suggest to me that that Catherine's more of a surrogate mother to Claire. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Absolutely.
I thought it was a different
confirmed
relationship
later. Claire even calls her mama when she's a little kid.
Mm.
Even though the nuns tell her not to. They're like, you're not supposed to call a nun mama.
Yeah, I guess I thought they were closer in age, so like through the regular comic, and so I had a misconception about what the underlying relationship may or may not be, or like you can't.
Given some of the fan art, it seems other fans have had the same issue.
Right. So that's a little interesting. I like a little extra detail, and it's basically like an illustrated children's book is all with dark concepts.
And for people who aren't used to reading regularly, there's actually not that much text per page. How much would you say maximum? It starts out like 200 words per page. And
exactly. The first missing moments that we updated up through, we focused on Claire. Claire is a child for a good portion of the missing moments and recently transitioned to what we call the outer nuns.
I think of the nuns in terms of Sailor Moon. There's the inner nuns who are like the main younger ones, and then there's the outer nuns who are like the outer scouts, and they're like
the older, more experienced lot.
Exactly.
I think most people might think primary and secondary and tertiary characters, but that works too.
Yeah.
the outer characters, the inner characters.
Yes. Well, when we transitioned to speaking about our outer nuns, it was made more obvious the age difference between the characters and stuff. But the starting moment, missing moments with Claire averaged about 200 words per page. The ones with the secondary characters can go up to 300-400 words per page. Not usually 400. That's kind of a stretch. We don't want the pages to ever get too crowded. We don't want them to look so text heavy that people see them and run away screeching. I think we've done a fairly good job so far.
And I think it's the highest form of flattery that some readers have even told Ash that they don't typically read, but they like reading the missing moments.
That's cool.
I think they're just short enough to be accessible to people who aren't big on reading, but want to read something really good about characters they like.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to go to the working as a team questions. So obviously you two have a team dynamic. So how does that work when coming up with the next set of updates?
We spend pretty much all of our free time talking about Sister Claire whenever we're in the car, or we work at Barnes & Noble a lot. We have this this tradition where we'll go get a bun and bubble tea from Grand Asia Market, and then we'll drive to Barnes & Noble and sit there until they kick us out at 10 or 11.
Yeah.
And most of that time we'll be talking about Claire and hashing out ideas like we did last night.
All of our longer road trips, or our shorter road trips, every time we're in the grocery store, you know, we could be browsing which rice to buy and also going, so yes, Catherine, what's going to happen to her on the next page? Or we'll be driving somewhere and Ellen will be like, hey, can we roll the windows up? Let's talk about the next page. Or I'll suddenly stop Elena when she's drawing something and I'll drape myself over the back of the chair and look at her and go, hey, can we talk about what's going to happen on the next missing moment?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to like go with a lovey-dovey sort of thing instead. Instead, it's all work with you. So as far as would you say you are both writers of this comic, or is it really one-sided at this point, more so than a duo writing chip?
Well, I'd say we are both writers, but I think we have different strengths when it comes to coming up with writing or with ideas for the story. Ash is really good at taking all, because I come up with a lot of miscellaneous ideas that I want to work into the comic, but I don't quite know how to make them all fit cohesively. And I think that's why Sister Claire started off a little bit rocky, because I thought of a lot of things that I thought would be fun to draw and that I wanted to do without really thinking of the overall big picture. And what Ash is really good at is finding connections between stuff and making it all make sense.
It sounds like a story written by sort of thing.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I've come up with some concepts myself, too, that I really wanted to work in.
Yeah, it's not like the story is no longer like all my idea. There are a lot of really important things that were Ash's idea.
But I mean, I don't want to say that I've come in and completely taken over the writing either. It is definitely more of a half and half sort of thing.
Excellent.
And with some moments, you can see
like ping pong.
Yeah, with some moments, you can see that it's more me. In some moments you can see that it's more Elena, but I think altogether it really does combine to be both of us.
Usually like the really like heart gut squishing moments that make you go like, oh, feels are Ash. And usually the ones where somebody like gets some egg splattered on their face and it's really funny, that's me. Like,
yeah,
I tend to focus, like my safe zone is comedy, like weird comedy.
And my weak point is comedy. It's not my weak point, but to me, it has to be the exact kind of perfect time to have something funny show up. And it's hard for me to have like an abrupt fart joke or something.
Hey, to be fair, I haven't had a fart joke in there for years.
You had to be. Okay, yeah. You're right. I'll give you that one.
Also, a lot of the really obscure angst is my idea. I'll be like, hey, what if we kill that person? Like, Elena!
What if someone died? And I'm like, oh.
But let's not kill them normally. Let's make it like really torturous and weird. And yeah. And Ash just looks at me like, what the hell is wrong with you? Just a second ago, you were saying they should do a fart joke. Like,
well, after you die, okay. So, my next question is, are there disagreements on how a scene should be staged or how a character should be expressed? And then how do you deal with if you can't agree on what should happen next?
I know that we've had situations like that, but I'm trying to think of a specific example. When can you think that we disagreed on something?
Well, I will give you an example, and I will try not to spoil anything about the comic. All right. Elena had an idea originally for the ending of Sister Claire. And when she told me about the ending, this was a long time ago before we even started dating. Okay. So
we were like tenuously friends. Yeah. Like we had just become friends.
And I was really flattered that this really popular artist was telling me all about her story. And a lot of her story was really great and concepts of it intrigued me. But then she told me the ending and it was kind of like someone had just reached through the computer and squeezed a horn that went womp womp. And I was like, oh, that's bad. I didn't think it was a good.
I still think we could make it work, but.
Well, now I want to know. But speaking of which, how far off is the quote unquote end of the comic?
Years away.
Okay.
It's at least another couple of books. We're trying to find ways to both condense certain aspects of the story that are unfolding while also giving each character and each moment enough development and enough, I guess you could say, screen time to make everything look really nice. We feel like recently that we've really hit our stride. The missing moments do help, but Elena is also, now that Elena has a really cohesive story planned out and she has me helping her with stuff, I think
we're hoping to move to 2 comic updates a week soon, especially when I'm done with Valor, because I've been working on that really hard this month and I didn't really have time for anything else except the bare minimum of Sister Claire updates. After Valor is done and we script out in more detail the future chapters, I want to build up a buffer and start updating twice as often.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll help us get to the end of the story a lot sooner.
And the juicier bits. There's so much really exciting stuff coming up. Next chapter is a big one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, things that people have been wondering about for literal years.
It's also the point where the missing moments are going to start to really tie in to the comic. A lot of stuff that previously was only talked about in missing moments is about to appear in front and center in the comic.
Yeah, it's about to come in a really, really big way. And it's finally time for Claire to start shining.
Mm-hmm.
So far, poor Claire, you know, she's been running around in Abbey and then running around in the wilderness, having some really chaotic adventures. But all of the stuff that is, everything's going to come full circle for Claire soon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we had Megan, I want to say Issa,
Megan, namesake, and Issa
on the show recently, and they talked about Valor, and I did notice that you guys, both of you were on there as well as contributing artists, contributing creators, and so Did you want to talk about your particular project with this? Is it a completely new thing, or does it relate to anything that either of you have worked on in the past?
Yeah, no, it's a completely original idea. And it's actually for, because we're both submitting different things. Ash is submitting a prose comic, and I'm drawing a comic that she came up with the idea for. Oh, did I say a prose comic? I meant to say a prose story. I'm illustrating it.
Okay.
But for the comic that I'm drawing, I basically told Ash that I wanted to draw a story that had a ghost in it, and I can't remember what else I wanted, but I gave her like three random prompts, and then while we were eating a burrito, she just like came up with the whole story.
I was like, she said, Ash, I want a story with a ghost, a hijabi character, and
a burrito.
I want them to be friends. And I was like, all right, give me 20 minutes. And like, I stuffed
in like 4 minutes before you had even finished your burrito, you put it down. You were like, okay, listen to this. Yeah.
I stuffed my face with a few bites of, I think we were at Moe's.
Yeah, we were at Moe's.
I stuffed my face with a few bites of a Moe's burrito. And then I was like, all right, here we go.
Burrito brain food.
Yeah. I really like coming up with stories, though. And I was like, how, what if this happens and this and this? And
also because of Ash's influence, it's set in Malaysia because Ash has been there a couple times. I think if it was just me, I don't know if I would have had the courage to set it someplace that I've never been to and I don't know anything about.
Well, I think we both had a goal to not
such short notice anyway.
Well, I think we both had a goal to not write your generic white bread set in medieval England fairy tale.
Not that there's anything wrong with those, but there's enough.
No, there's nothing wrong with them at all. But they are generic. And when people say fairy tale, I think that's what, especially Western audiences, Western audiences think of rolling moors and cobblestone pathways.
We got enough of that in Claire. I want to do something a little different.
Yeah. We wanted to branch out a bit. So I thought, what better branching out than going to Malaysia?
Malaysia, truly Asia.
And let me just back up a bit here on that note. I'd like to think we've pointed it out in the past episodes that you've been on the show, but you tend to make Sister Claire actually fairly diverse.
Yeah. That's especially started with book two, because in the first book, from the very beginning, I'd always intended Claire to leave the Abbey a lot sooner than she did in the comic. For various reasons, she kind of stayed there for almost the entirety of book one. Oh, my cat is just desperate for attention right now. But after book one, we had her leave the Abbey, and that's when we got the opportunity to introduce a lot more characters, a lot more witches. Winkle, please.
Speaking of Winkle, we also got to introduce a lot more cats.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was just sort of...
Yeah, with the witches, we've especially got the opportunity to introduce a lot more diverse characters that are not white, like most of the nuns at Claire's Abbey, characters that have different body types and come from different cultures.
Well, I think the comic, too, is a direct reflection of Elena's evolution of social awareness.
Yeah, that too.
You know, Sister Claire started when she was in college. It was a project that she was working on. And as she became aware of more issues like representation and stuff like that, mm-hmm. and wanting just to have her comic be something that was accessible to more people that made more people happy. I think she really tried to work on that. And
I felt a little bit boxed in, like after I had been working on Claire for like 2-3 years and she was still at the Abbey and there were still the same characters there, it would have felt really kind of token to try to bring out of the woodworks all these like really diverse characters that had never been.
Yeah, but luckily enough, an Abbey is by definition quite a cloistered place. Mm-hmm. So, and once Claire left the Abbey, there's a
whole world out there.
A whole world out there. And the Sister Claire world, even in its original conception, was extraordinarily diverse, and finally we are getting a chance to show that.
Yeah.
Shoot. Oh, I remember. I was just thinking about how long this comic has been updating and how long ago it was, because I remember first reading Sister Claire back when I was still a pagan. And I was like, as soon as the witches thing came up, I was like, But I remember sending you a very politely written email, or either it was a comment, and then basically you either assured me or did make a post on the website that, yeah, I know, just basically wait for it is what you said, and that you're not you know, demonizing, you know, witches, especially the parallel of the real world.
Yeah, there were some self-identified witches who were taking offense to the nun propaganda, and I had to reassure them, like, the opinions of the characters are not necessarily the opinions of the creators. Yeah. I have nothing against Wiccans or people who practice magic in real life.
Yeah, the whole point of Sister Claire is to show that one perspective is not going to solve anything.
It's showing two sides of a war, and the story starts out on one side, so it's only natural that they would have a lot of anti-witch propaganda and demonize them as much as possible. But
we're really starting to get, as of 2014, we're really starting to get into more of that. I don't know what update that is, but it does come up. It's happening now as we're getting into more of not nun perspective, I suppose.
Yes.
Let's see here. As what other questions do I got here? Oh, are there, Yamino, I know you had a bunch of other ideas for other comics in the past on Tumblr and things like that. Are you working on any other projects besides Valor right now? Is it strictly Sister Claire?
Well, I mean, we've been talking about other comic ideas, but there's none that are actually on the table to be worked on at the same time as Claire.
Would you both be working on the next project together, or would you be working on individual projects?
I don't really want to work on any projects without Ash now.
Me neither. I mean, without Elena, I mean, I
can't imagine how I would, because my instinct now is to just go to her and tell her all the ideas and be like, what do you think? What would you do? Blah, 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 blah. What about this thing? And I can't in good conscience have her inform the story and not credit her.
And from my perspective, I mean, I found someone who essentially illustrates my fan fiction. Like, how can I give that up? No. I mean, I have, you spoke of Megan and Issa recently, and Megan and Issa are pretty close friends of ours, and at the last con that we were at with them, there was some talk of maybe me at some point working with Issa or Elena working with another writer to do other things. Like, there's no saying that we couldn't work with other people sometimes, but I think our main mojo is definitely with each other.
There's always April Fools.
That's that way.
Sorry?
There's always April Fools, you know. just swap duties with each other. That'd be kind of fun.
I actually joked about that earlier. I was like, Ash, this April Fool's, you should draw the next page.
And oh, no.
And we'll be like, sorry, my tendonitis got so bad, Ash is taking over both writing and drawing of Sister Claire.
We would lose all of our readers in about a week.
No.
Oh, Elena, there was actually... Before I came on as a writer, right after Elena moved here, she was there was this thought that maybe I could learn how to ink in Illustrator and that I would help her ink her pages, because that's her least favorite part of doing any page. And I really wanted to help, and I can do line art in Sci and stuff, some other programs, but, well, let's just say that me attempting to ink in either Photoshop or Illustrator was a disaster.
Well, that's because you tried for, like, 5 minutes. And also, Illustrator is extremely not intuitive. It took me years to figure out how to do it.
So yeah, but I thought...
Don't beat yourself up.
Well, I thought this was going to be something that was fairly easy, and I could take a load off Elena by inking, because
it only looks easy because I've been doing it for 5.5 years.
Yeah. That's how I got into webcomics. I was like, Well, actually, you know what? I'm going to guess it's probably how 80% of the webcomics out there got started, because somebody looked and said, I could do that. That we had a webcomic. Let's see here. You do both go to conventions. Do you have any interesting, fun stories that you'd like to share?
everybody thinks that Ash is me when I'm not at the table.
Yeah.
And they're like, I love your art.
Yeah, people come up and they're all excited. I had one person come up and start to cry because she was like, oh my God, it's Yamino. And I was like, whoa there, Sugar Cube. It's not Yamino. I'm her wife. People come up trembling and quivering with excitement, and I feel kind of bad dashing their hopes. And I'm like,
no, but the artist is in the bathroom or getting a hot dog or something.
Yeah, Elena will be back soon, and hopefully she will be brandishing hot dogs upon her return. Like, no, people do mistake me for Elena, and some people have mistaken Elena for me, though that's not as common.
it reminds me of Alex Heberling, who has a few comics that she works. I think she's working on one right now called The Hues, but she also worked on one called Harbinger or something like that. I always mispronounce it. And she and her boyfriend go to conventions together when she's not at the table, because her name is Alex, which is, it can go for either
gender neutral name.
Yeah, it's a gender neutral name. That's the hell you say it. So he'll put on like this makeshift paper hat that says, I'm not the artist.
We should do that. We should get those like little hats that they give out at Krispy Kreme and write like Yamino Ash on.
Yeah. We've had people come up and say, so who is who? And that's really,
people ask that when I post pictures of us online sometimes. I guess they're newer people because I posted tons of selfies before.
Yeah, I don't post as many selfies, but I just think it's really funny because we look nothing alike.
We are about as polar opposite as you can get, except we're both white, but other than that, we're both women. But
we're both white. We have glasses and
brown
hair.
A lot of people can't tell that I'm a woman, so.
Oh, well, I had that same thing happen. Oh, you're speaking of a funny story that happened at a convention.
Okay.
I went into...
Ash had an experience that I often have. I was not expecting her to share this experience with me.
So I went to go into the women's bathroom at... at a convention. And as I was walking in, I heard someone behind me go, sir, excuse me, sir. But I thought this person was talking to someone else. I am not a sir. And I went into the bathroom and I was in the bathroom going to approach a stall, and someone grabbed my shoulder and said, sir, you can't be in here, sir. And all I did was turn around. I was wearing a hoodie, and I unzipped the hoodie and like ripped it open akin to Superman to display my rather large breasts. and the person was like, oh, I am so sorry.
See, I don't have that luxury.
Well, still.
I can't do that.
I have never.
Usually what I do is I just talk.
Yeah.
Like they'll be like, this is the women's bathroom. And I'm like, I know. And I'm just washing my hands. And they're like,
yeah, but I've never really, I guess I've been mistaken for a guy before from the back, but I still don't understand. I'm pretty curvy.
It was the hoodie, I guess.
I don't know. I think I look pretty. Oh, it happened at our table too, Elena. That guy who had been talking to me face to face.
Oh, that was so funny. I was right there. Yeah. He was talking to both of us. And as he left the table, he looked at Ash and he was like, what did he say? Like, thank you, sir, or something. And he said it with so much certainty. And as he walked away, he repeated to himself, like, sir, while nodding, as if to confirm, like, yes, I did a good. I got it right. And I was like, what? It's one thing to just look at us and make a snap judgment, but when you hear us talking?
Well, when you hear us talking, you're standing less than 2 feet away. And at the time, at that point, I was not wearing a hoodie.
Yeah.
My rather large breasts were on full display. Like, how could you miss it?
Well, to be fair, there's probably a lot of guys at AnimeCon too, also.
Okay, no. It was quite startling.
I've never had an experience like that because you look at me, I look like I'm a cis male, because I don't shave, so it's pretty obvious. But I did one time at this one job I went into, because there was a person there, which I was like, are they transgender? And because it was, it's like. Like, I think they might have had some work done to make it more confusing for me to decipher this, because I only bring this up because I went into...
Well, I'm sure they didn't do it with the intent to confuse you.
Well, no, but here's the reason why I bring this up. It's I went into the men's bathroom, and I see this person who really, I was like, that's definitely a her. And like, then I'm like, whoa, wait, did I walk into the wrong bathroom? Like, because this person is like, at quick glance, you'd say, that's a her.
Mm-hmm.
Breasts and very feminine lipstick, everything. It was like, and then she was like, I don't know what the pronoun is. There was like, no, you're in the right place. I was like, well, that's weird. And because it's like, I'm wondering if maybe the company told them they had to be using the male bathroom or something like that. So it's like, I'm confused.
Sometimes that's the case.
Yeah.
But on the other side of that experience, it's really the worst thing to just be trying to go to the bathroom and somebody harasses you for going in there.
Yeah.
Especially when I just want to pee, you know, like I'm not in there to bother anybody. And it really ticks me off when I'm very obviously not there being creepy or shifty. I'm just washing my hands.
Yeah. She's not weaving around with a camera, like strategically placed or trying to peer in the gap between the door.
But people will act like I'm a predator or something, or like small children will stare at me with their mouths hanging open and be like, mommy, why is there a boy in the girl's bathroom? And their mom will just like look away in embarrassment and say nothing. And I'm like, come on, lady.
Yeah. Or look at Elena with abject fear while she's doing no more than washing her hands.
Yeah. I get the like stare of death too. Like, you should not be here, but I'm not going to say anything. I get that a lot. And one time, a lady actually tried to beat me up. This was in Austria. This old lady started attacking me with her bag and shrieking at me in German. And this was before I spoke any German, but thankfully my mom was also in the bathroom and she speaks fluent German. And she was like, back the
back wow. up off it.
Yeah, I was about to say something that I'm not allowed to say on this podcast, but
so who said you couldn't? But that's fine.
Yeah,
yeah. I haven't censored this podcast in a long time.
Oh, okay.
You shouldn't have told us that.
It's quite all right. We're almost we're towards the last leg of the show. Let's move on to tools of the trade. Yamano, what do you use to draw?
I use a Wacom tablet. Let me actually pick it up and see which one it is. It's an Intuos 4. I got it a couple years ago. And I also use Photoshop CS5 and Illustrator. I think it might be 3. It's ancient. I don't remember which kind of Illustrator I use, but I use it for really basic stuff, so I've never needed to upgrade it.
So you're strictly digital?
Yep, I'm 100% digital. I think I'm a rarity in the webcomic world for that. But I think it's also because a lot of artists I know are uncomfortable drawing their sketch and everything digitally first. And I think it's because I've been using tablets for over 8 or 9 years now. So it's kind of second nature to me. I actually prprefer drawing on a tablet. I don't even like Cintiqs. I think that also makes me kind of weird. A lot of artists I know much prefer Cintiqs because it mimics the feel of drawing on paper more, but that's why I don't like it. Because my hand is always covering part of the drawing and it gives me bad posture. When I draw on paper, I tend to really hunch over and I do the same thing on a Cintiq.
Yeah, it's not that Elena can't work with traditional media. It's just that it tends to make her hunch over it like a gargoyle.
And there's no undo button.
Yeah, there's no undo button.
Yes. Yeah, I could never do the screenless tablet for drawing because the association I just couldn't nail down. That's why I, like many other artists, probably like the screen because they can see instant results exactly where I put the pen versus this disembodied thing going on. But, you know, that whenever I go to conventions and I talk about tools of the trade, you know, everything we use as a tool, it just they all take different levels of mastering.
I think if you use a tablet that doesn't have a screen on it, it's for me, it's just more intuitive because it's something I've been using for almost a decade now. But I think a lot of people that are only now just getting into using tablets probably still find the Cintiq more natural to use because, like you said, you draw exactly where you see. It doesn't require as much hand-eye coordination.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's like back when we just had a mouse. And then you give us a tablet with a pen that's actually accurate, then we all freak out. I will say, as far as like tools of the trade, if you're coloring, you want at least the cheapest tablet you can get because that is like the one thing that is super easy compared to using a mouse, I would say.
I have a tip, though, for people that are trying to get used to using a tablet that doesn't have a screen is I would get a medium-sized one, not a really tiny one. And I know that's a luxury of how much you can afford. But if you can't afford a medium-sized one that's at least the size of a laptop, I would get that. Mine is the same size as my laptop. They fit into my laptop bag together. But if you have that medium size, it makes it a lot easier to draw larger lines without wibbliness and having to zoom in a lot. And I also use my tablet instead of a mouse. I haven't used a mouse in like 8 years because I just use my tablet all the time. And if you use it for everything, not just for drawing, you'll get that hand-eye coordination so much faster.
I don't know. I kind of like my 5-button mouse with the scroll wheel because I'm a gamer too. And I have a lot more options. If I don't think I could play TF2 with a pen.
Well, maybe I have switched. I actually do own a mouse for the specific purpose of playing Portal.
Ah, there we go.
I got like the cheapest possible mouse. Don't pull out that string of your shirt, Ash. You could be destroying it.
That wasn't my shirt.
Oh, okay. Was it my shirt?
No. If you must know, it was my undergarments.
Oh, dear. Okay. Anyway, Ash is unraveling her underwear. Anyway.
The more you know.
The more you know.
Okay, let's see here. Are there any local creative groups in your area that you guys participate with?
Well, we did start, or I guess I started, Ash gave me the courage to start a group called Comic Jam here at UNC.
At the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.
Yeah, I just call it UNC. I don't even know what it stands for. Oh, no. I didn't go there.
It's where I work.
Yeah, it's where Ash works. And I started this comic group because I really missed SCAD and I missed going to hang out at the Metro Cafe and drawing comics and stuff with people. And I was hoping to come up with a similar vibe here. Mm-hmm. And a lot of students joined who don't draw comics but want to. Mm-hmm. And so it's become we do have drawing jams where we'll draw comics together, but it's largely me mentoring them and teaching people how to do comics.
Well, that's
awesome. That's been fun.
That's yeah. Really awesome.
It's kind of an unofficial, and sometimes we just hang out and do fun stuff. Like there's one kid, his family owns a farm that has horses, and we all went there and watched Frozen and went horseback riding.
Yeah.
Except for some girls that were scared of the horses. And one guy who was terrified. He was so scared of the horses, he didn't even come. Like, he stayed home. I'm like, buddy, you don't have to do that.
Yeah. We have a really good time, though. And these kids really, really look up to Elena as senpai.
Sometimes I forget that I'm like 10 years older than them. I'm like, oh my God.
I know. It's really difficult. I can totally relate with that. It's really difficult to want to be, you know, have that sort of like friendship relationship with somebody mm-hmm. that you can click with. I've been to conventions of which I've done my panels, and there was this one girl who's approached me at least twice after a panel and really polite thanked me for the panel and things like that. And I engaged her about her projects, but she was clearly a youngin, and you always gotta keep that line in check. It's like, I'm not saying like I'm not gonna hit on her, obviously, but it's just like, you don't want to be too close because of, you know, you don't want the appearance of being creepy. And then of course you have to think of what is appropriate for a relationship of how involved you get. Cause I also work at a school right now, and number one rule, there's a lot of number one rules, but one is, you know, staff is not friends with students.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's where I come from too. Like, I'm the official sponsor of what Elena has created is essentially a club on campus, a student organization, and I'm the staff member who is the sponsor for this club, and Elena runs it, and I'm the one behind it, like getting the rooms and
ordering the pizza
and all this stuff. But when I show up to the meetings, it does feel a little bit weird for me. I'm almost 10 years older than these kids.
I forget that all the time. I guess I'm still in that kind of college mentality.
Mm-hmm. But well, there's also
some like older students there that are a lot closer to our age.
Of course, like not all of the students are
freshmen,
little first years. You know, some of them are transfer students who are, if not our age, sometimes older than us. The age range it varies. Mm-hmm. But sometimes especially when we're taking them on trips and stuff, it feels more like we are chaperones.
They'll be like, oh, I don't have an ID, so I don't know if I can go there. And I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, it's not that neither of us drink either. So yeah. whenever we're taking them somewhere, it's more like, hey, y'all want to go to the zoo?
Yeah.
Well, that is such a crux, because it's like when, I mean, it's like, I understandably so. I mean, if here's the thing. I went to an anime convention like for the first time. And of course there's people cosplaying and wearing revealing stuff. And it took me like at least 4 hours the first day I was there. It just hit me. Oh shit. I probably shouldn't be looking. These people, there's a lot of minors here. Oh shit. Yeah. Oh crap.
Jailbait.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's like, honestly, I mean, obviously there's some sort of societal stuff that we get is like, it's okay because, you know, and it's like, I'm being more conscious about that. But it's like I see a lot of younger people, I guess not as younger people. And I think that's part of my personal problem. And it might be a male problem as well. Who knows? But when as far as like just the gaze thing, as far as like, if you're actually engaging with somebody and you're really like talking shop with somebody, it's like, you know, that anything else other than what you're talking about is unimportant, and you start talking to them like an adult, you know, you don't talk down to them and that mm-hmm. sort of thing. And I think that's sort of where it is like, and you want to be like, oh man, you like that? I love that. Let's talk about that. And you just, it's an odd, I don't even know where I'm going with this, but, mm-hmm. but yeah, we got to watch out for that. That's olden.
Speaking of not talking down to people, when I was doing my master's degree in Plymouth, I ended up being kind of strong armed into babysitting this woman in my class's kid for about an hour. And she was like, Eleanor, you like drawing comics. Why don't you teach my son how to draw comics? Goodbye. And I was like, okay. And so for an hour, I sat with her kid, and he was very gregarious, and he learned really fast. And I've never taught how to do comics to a really young kid, mm-hmm. but he mm-hmm. grasped the concepts, especially if I could draw them out visually. Mm. He got them immediately, and we drew like a comic series about this kid whose teeth all fell out because he ate a lot of candy, and it was pretty gruesome.
Gruesome.
Gruesome. Don't gruesome. Speak English. but yeah, that I really think that you shouldn't dumb things down for kids, because they are so much smarter than we give them credit mm-hmm. for. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They can grasp concepts that took me years to get when it comes to comics.
Alternatively, it's really easy to see, like, Elena had this problem with some of her classmates at SCAD. It's really easy to pick out the people in a group who don't want to learn how to do something, where they think that they already have a way of doing something.
It's my style.
Yeah. Like,
I draw anime style. Deal with it.
It's like, but this is a realistic anatomy class.
I'm going to do it my way.
It's like, okay, why did you come to art school then? Yeah. Not to learn.
When Elena,
why are your parents paying out the wazoo for you to draw your style? Like, you can do that in high school.
But when Elena is sitting there trying to teach tried and true comic methodology, and someone's like, yeah, I'm not gonna do it that way because I think I have a better idea, you know, on one hand you want to encourage them to be forward thinking and to go outside the box, but you also want to encourage them to,
before you do that, you need to learn the basics.
Yeah.
And you can never learn the foundations if you don't want to.
Yeah.
You can bring a horse to water, but you can't make it learn to draw comics. Like, and this is something that I worry about a lot, because we've talked about me possibly going to SCAD or another art school, maybe SVA mm-hmm. to teach comics. And on the one hand, I love the idea because I love comics and I think I could be a good teacher. But at the same time, then I always have these horrific flashbacks to SCAD and the kids that draw everything their way and refuse to participate in class, or not even the kids that are stubborn that way, but the kids who just, I don't know. I remember I had a color theory class where there was a really basic concept that the teacher taught, and some kids just didn't get it because they didn't even bother. It's like they weren't paying attention. And during critiques, I would end up like taking over the teacher's job and being like, why didn't you follow these very basic guidelines? Oh my God, it's one rule. Can't you just pay attention?
It's like people, like when you're trying to teach someone how to drive and they refuse to acknowledge the rule of the stop sign.
Yeah.
Like it's a hard and fast rule that you must follow for things to turn out right. And so it doesn't end up being a train wreck.
In art, I don't think there's rules so much as guidelines for, and you can always bend them, but you need to know what they are mm-hmm. before you can tweak them around. And
yeah, you need to know where the borders are before you dance over them in a kilt. You know? That's some, yeah.
But anyway.
All right. We're going to go with the fun questions, the last questions of the podcast. You can either answer them separately or together as a team. Mm-hmm. If your life was a comic book, what genre would you be in?
Oh, no. I don't know.
Would we be in
or
the
would
same
you prefer,
genre?
Or what genre would you prefer to be in?
Comedy. I wouldn't want to be in any of my comics because horrible things would happen to me. I'd probably die horribly and then be brought back and have a fart joke. Like,
it was just gas. I got better.
No. I want to be in slice of life comedy. That's it. Yeah, that's a safe one.
I was going to say slice of life. I don't know if slice of life comedy would be it, but that tends to be my life in
a
nutshell.
You have such bad luck. You'd have a horror comic.
Oh, no. I don't want that though. Like this is
what okay. This is ideal. Okay.
Yeah, this isn't what we want. This is what we would hope for. yeah, I would like slice of life stuff with perhaps a little bit of fantasy sprinkled in there.
Yeah,
like I want to be that protagonist that discovers that she can grow wings or something really cool.
I want to turn into a dragon.
Yeah. Okay.
I also want to be magical girl.
Yeah.
Magical girl dragon.
I want to fly.
Well, that was my next. That was my next question. Who and what would your character be?
Go for it, Elena.
Well, I think I just said magical girl dragon.
Yeah.
Okay. For me, I want to be the perfectly ordinary protag who can also just randomly fly. Like, I don't want to solve crimes or particularly, I mean, I don't mind helping people. That's fine. But, you know, sometimes helping people has really adverse consequences. Let's just say help people when I can, but mostly just fly around and be cool.
Can I change my character? I just had a different idea.
Okay.
Wouldn't it be cool? Okay, now this is going to become a comic that I'm going to want to draw. But what if there was a character who was a magical girl, but every day that she woke up, she had a different superpower? It was like Russian roulette or something.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And so she could never plan her day because it would be like, today, everything I touch turns into fire.
Yeah. I actually just had the thought, oh, no. What if one day you woke up and you had Cyclops's power of like laser vision? Oh, there goes yeah. your roof.
Or like, what if one day gravity just doesn't apply to you and you just float away?
Like you wake up and you're smooching your ceiling like that would be awful.
That sounds like a horror comic. It's like, whoa, geez, what the hell?
Woke up as a slime monster.
That's a curse. Yeah. That's a curse, not a superpower.
Yeah. That poor girl, like, instead of being the superhero, she would need to be rescued.
Yeah, and she probably wouldn't remember what she'd look like. I'm sure her appearance would change drastically. Man, that could be a really interesting concept.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it.
High five.
Yeah.
Add that to the really long list of comics we want to do.
Yeah.
Who would be
See,
your
this
arch-
is what it's like to be with us in the car when
okay.
we're
Okay. All right. Who would be your arch nemesis or nemesis, real or fictional?
Those ladies that always scowl at us at Barnes
yeah,
and Noble.
At Barnes and Noble, there's these two ladies that always stare hatefully at us. It's like clockwork. They're always there.
They're always there when we are. They always leave right around the same time we do. And they always cast these like nervous glances in our direction while mumbling to each other as though we're going to try to
attack them,
inflict bodily harm upon them. Come on. We're pretty harmless looking. I look like a walking fuzzy mushroom, for heaven's sake. Like I don't understand how someone could look at me and think intimidating. But apparently these people are afraid of the lesbians or something, because that's... I don't know.
One of them looks super alarmed when you called me your wife.
Yeah, like within earshot, she heard me say,
"Oh, mercy."
Yeah, she's like, "Oh, Miss Scarlet, it's a homosexual." it was very
And I'm like, "You're at Barnes and Noble. Where do you think the lesbians go?" Like, yeah. Really?
yeah, I don't know, but they would probably end up being our arch nemesis or Yeah.
I wonder what their powers would be.
Well,
it'd wilting
be
glare.
Being yeah. old.
Like, yeah, the glare would definitely be part of it. What would your Achilles heel be? Your
each
kryptonite.
Other.
Yeah. Each other. I if something was wrong with Elena, I couldn't function. Like, I would have to
The old ladies would get us. They would see the weak spot.
Yeah. All right. What one superpower or skill would you like to have, just in general?
turning into a dragon. Yeah. Magical girl dragon.
I would want to fly.
Well, I can do that because I'm a dragon.
Fine. well, I guess there's a power that's kind of similar. I just want to be able to go other places. I would like to have a power where I could pretty much teleport anywhere in the world.
What about Gabrielle's water teleportation?
Yeah, water's everywhere.
Or mirrors reflection. Yeah. That'd be cool.
Yeah, that's like Belle Dandy from Oh My Goddess. but wow, I haven't thought about that in a long time. Anyway, I can't believe I just remembered that. But I would like to be able to teleport myself through in some way to anywhere in the world. I can just imagine it. Like one day at the end of the workday, I'm feeling really drained. I just got yelled at by my boss. I'm like, you know what? I'd like to spend an evening in Paris with Elena. And so I go home, grab her wrist, and I'm like, hey, Elena, how about Paris? And she's like, yeah. And then I blink and we're in Paris.
Oh, you know what else would be a really cool similar power? To be able to jump into pictures like Mary Poppins. Oh, and you could draw your own picture out of chalk and just like jump into it and be on a magical carousel. Like,
yes, that only works if you can draw, though.
Wait. No, wait.
I got that covered.
I proposed to you, what if you had Harold's purple crayon?
Yeah, that would be a really great power. That would be a dangerous tool in my hand.
Yeah, then you have to wonder if one of us would become a supervillain.
Oh, man. Can you imagine Harold and the purple crayon being like a master villain?
I can imagine it's scary.
I want to do that story.
and then the magical girl dragon has to stop
world
him.
Domination.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be awesome, actually.
All right. That is it for my questions here that I have. Did you have any questions for me or something that I missed and you guys want to bring up? Oh, wait, I got one.
What superpower would you want, Fizz?
Oh, man, you know what? Oh, geez. No one's ever asked
Nobody
me before.
Nobody ever asked you that.
Well,
the tables have turned.
Ooh, okay. Well, I have like my go-to like three wishes if I found a magic lamp thing. So I'll just pick one of those because one of those could be a superpower, being fluent in all earth languages.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That is a good one.
Why stop at like human ones too?
I
How
said
about
all
animal
earth.
Language too?
I said all earth languages.
Okay.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then I could make money from just selling my services for translation and such, and they'd be really cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, dang, you'd never be out of work.
Yeah.
I imagine your
Think
life...
Think of all the anime you could watch without subtitles.
I was actually thinking, though, imagine how loud your life would be if you could understand every language. Like, human perception only reaches so far. It reminds me of the comic that the Oatmeal did about the mantis shrimp being mm-hmm. able to see colors that our brains cannot even conceive of. But if you suddenly had this power where you could understand all earth languages, that means your perception would widen dramatically. Mm. Would you ever be able to sleep? Like,
well, it depends what you're counting as a language. If you're counting like the colors of the wind as a language, then yeah. But if it's just like human and animal languages, I think it would be tolerable.
Yeah, but I mean,
let me drop that back just to human. I think I don't want my brain to explode.
I lived in Austria, and I've been around really international communities before, and I learned to tune out any language that wasn't English because most of the people I talked to still spoke English. But when I moved to England after that, I felt like I was constantly eavesdropping because everybody was speaking English, although with like a very fancy accent, but they were speaking my language, and I couldn't help but zone in on mm-hmm. every conversation I heard on the train for the first couple months.
But was that because that was a different language that you were used to, and that if you had the comprehension of all human languages, it would just be like how your first language is and how you deal with things?
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe.
Because then you wouldn't be trying to decipher it because you already know it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it depends on how interesting the people who are talking look.
I think if I understood every language, I'd also get really good at tuning out people.
Yeah, like maybe. There we go.
I'm already pretty good at tuning out people.
Yeah, me too.
All right. I remembered one last question here. We got a little bit of time left. Plugs.
Oh, yeah. Read Sister Claire.
Yeah, read Sister Claire.
I meant other than your own. I meant other than your own stuff. Because, of course, I'm going to link those.
Oh, okay. let's see. I think Blind Springs is a comic that everybody should check out. I haven't gotten to read the whole thing yet, but I've read far enough to see that it's both a really interesting story and a really beautiful art style by my friend Katie.
Definitely plug Namesake, one of the best comics with one of the best stories I've ever read. I think it's absolutely wonderful. I think just browsing the offerings of Hiveworks in general is great. The Hiveworks.com. Go check it out. We have comics that, I mean, if you like fantasy, great. If you like slice of life, great. We've got it all. If you're a queer reader, we've got a lot of comics with main queer characters. If you're looking for a comic where, you know, the cast is not strictly Western white people, we've got you covered. Like, we've got a little bit of everything. Of course, also a plug for the upcoming Valor anthology.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yes. Please check that out. Comic anthology about strong female protagonists in fairy tales. What more could you possibly want? Mm-hmm. Elena was talking about dragons earlier. Let's just say that Valor has its fair share of dragons
and a sky lion.
And a sky lion. Story. Yes.
It's not actually a lion.
I got to tell you, I think the last few people I've interviewed, these are all the same links. everyone's saying Blind Springs lately. And of course, I've been a big supporter of Hiveworks. I just wanted to clarify that the Webcast Beacon Network is not obligated or anything to promote Hiveworks. It's just my personal opinion. Is it in your contract to promote Hiveworks or not?
No. Okay. I do have one suggestion that I don't think you'll have gotten already, though. You should look up Camo Dad, all one word, CamoDad.
Okay.
I don't remember what the exact link is, but if you Google Camo Dad, that's by our friend Hannah, who is a student at SVA, and she's the creator of the Tumblr viral sensation Bendy Toots. It's really funny. It had me in stitches, and she's done a lot of other really funny comics on there.
All right. We will get those links in the show notes for everyone listening. That does bring us to the end of our episode with Yamano and Ash from the webcomic Sister Claire at sisterclaire.com. And of course, catch the Missing Moments extra comic that's also at sisterclaire.com. Thank you both very much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for the opportunity. It was a lot of fun.
Absolutely. And if you want to follow either one of these creators on Tumblr, I know Ash's Summer Lightning and Yamano, isn't yours just Yamano?
Yep, I'm pretty unoriginal.
Yeah. Well, no, that's just it. You are original. You are the one, the only, the incredible, indelible Yamino.
Yamino. All right, that is it for this week's episode. I've been Fess of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com. See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.